When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk. Welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the fastest way to pull up the stream is go directly to 1150kknw.com. Click on Listen Now, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook. Go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World. And if you feed anything by Fromm's, put up a new recall this morning. So check that out. And, gosh, it is... So I can't believe it's third hour already. Time flies when you're having a good time, and I sure am, because I'm with my favorite vet on the planet. Dr. Jeff, Rocky Mountain Vet, is actually here. And he's real. And, you know... He is who he is. Who you see is what you get. I don't think there's any pretense here. This is been wonderful. And I forgot to tell all you guys, because I know we've got you know, our regular Animal World family of listeners and all of that from all over the place. But, you know, Dr. Jeff put up some publicity about the show and so forth, so I know that there's some Dr. Jeff fans out there. So if I'm not getting to the stuff that you want to hear about with Dr. Jeff, you can shoot us an email. So David, you're going to have to be checking our email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. You can shoot us an email and say, we want to know this, we want to do that. And you also can pick up the call, or the phone, and tell David what you want to know, and he'll let us know. Or we might even put you on the air. But the number to call is 1-888-298-5569. Alrighty, Dr. Jeff, I promised I was going to open this can of worms. However, I was listening to the top of the hour, and the promo for Robin's, Alexis's show that's come back on KKNW, and they're dealing with grief and the loss of her husband and all that kind of stuff and helping people through that. And it reminded me because I heard something on the podcast I listened to yesterday of yours. You guys were chatting and something came up that I was like, oh, I didn't ever really think about that. And the subject that came up was on the show, Dr. Jeff, Rocky Mountain Vet. You were saying that Animal Planet didn't like to film the bad stories when the animals died or something went wrong. And you said something about you really would have liked to have more time to deal with that. Can you address that? Tell us. So we didn't see that kind of stuff.
I do think if we would have gone another season, we would have got some euthanasia stuff involved. But I think it's important for people to have to deal with that. You know, we go through the different levels of grief, and it's real for people, whether execs want to believe it or, you know, someone sitting somewhere in a room wants to believe that people have those kind of feelings. They do, you know, these animals become part of our life, part of our family. And so I think covering some of the negative stuff is important, you know, because people have to, it's part of life, is it not? You can't shelter everybody from everything. Yeah.
Well, life isn't fair in the animal world, isn't fair in the human world either. And, you know, and what do you always say? When do you learn the most? You usually learn the most from the most awful experiences. Yeah. You know, when something goes south, you usually when life is grand, everything's wonderful. We don't tend to learn a lot that way. It is important to deal with that. And it just occurred to me, it popped into my mind. Because, you know, I don't think we've given animals credit for who they really are. You know, I think animals think and reason. They have feelings and emotions, personalities, and all of that, just like we do. I think one of the things that I've worked against would be using animals in research and so forth. And totally. I think you have an issue with that as well. But I think that's one way that science has made it okay to do the things they do to animals, is that they tend to believe that they don't think and reason. They don't have feelings and emotions. And it simply isn't true.
Goes back to Descartes, that Descartes feeling, you know, of that they're like a machine. You wind them up and, you know, they go off, and it's not the case. And we know that. If you look at modern literature, we've come so far. But I personally think part of the problem that's always going to hinder animal welfare, animal rights movement, if you will, is the fact that, you know, we kill, what, 16, 18 billion animals a year in this country to eat them, you know, and they're hidden well. We don't know a lot about it, but it's ugly, you know, the way we do things. And large animal vets are very much protected from that to, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, you can't have rules for all animals to be the same, because they're really not. Well, they are under the law, but then yet technically they're not. You know, so it gets to be real complex, and it's a social issue. I don't see everybody becoming vegan overnight. You know, it's not going to happen. But at some point, just, you know, with the ecology and things like that, eventually I think man will progress to the point where we don't, and we have artificial meat now that's actually pretty amazing, you know, that we don't need to be killing so many animals. And at that point in time, I think animals will have a different, or society will have a different view of animals.
Hopefully we are learning and growing. And okay, all right, I guess I don't get to open the can of worms yet, because how about we give credit where credit is due, and let's have a little fun. Okay, because guess who chimed in on the phone lines? Well, you should have zoomed in, you guys, and then we could see you. Oh, you could still do that. You could zoom in. You have the link. It's not the first Sunday of the month. It is a fourth Sunday of the month, and often Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org are here as our guests, and they're chiming in, and it's their fault that Jeff and I are chattering away and could talk forever because they put this all together. So just for a minute, we'll welcome Merritt and Beth Clifton. Good morning, you guys. Welcome back to Animal World.
Good morning. Good morning, Martha. Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, David.
Hi, Jeff. I had no idea Beth was going to do this. She surprised all of us.
Well, I'm glad you guys chimed in because I owe you guys such a debt of gratitude and a thank you for name dropping Dr. Jeff on the show. And I was paying attention, and woohoo, he's here. See, Jeff, they know how to do this. They just didn't do it. So now you got, but you got to turn on your video, turn on your picture. There. So now Jeff can see you. There we are. There you are. You look like you should. All righty.
Hey, hi, Jeff.
Don't get goofy on us. All right.
See, we're not any better.
All right. So, Merritt, how long, I know you're the one that started all this and got Jeff and I together, but how long have you known Dr. Jeff? When did you guys
do it?
Are you not hearing?
Let go. Can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, but we can't hear you. We're having the same trouble Jeff was having.
Oh, they can't hear us. David, what did Nathan do? Can you push a button or something?
Okay. Oh.
Jeff looking bored.
Yeah.
Anyway, talk big.
Well, if anybody can hear me, say hello to Jeff, of course. We've met each other in a lot of strange places around the world. I've watched him do surgery, watched him teach surgery.
Oh, really? I didn't know you'd actually done that.
Various places, including with Esther Meckler, our mutual friend, who's the grand old lady of spay neuter. And one of these days, Beth is going to figure out how to get the sound on. Did that do it? No.
We never had this trouble before.
Yep.
Here
we go.
Did that work?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hi.
Okay. So untechnical, Martha, what I did is there's three dots up on the top of your screen. I pushed that, and one option was chat. I hit the chat,
Yeah.
and that's what something made of sound. Hey,
Oh, here we are.
Martha solved a
We
technical
wanted to.
issue.
We've
How
been
was
listening.
that?
It's
Hey.
awesome. We've been listening to the whole show, and it's going great. And we wanted to give you our moral support. We love Jeff too.
Well, I want to know, Merritt, how did you guys meet? Because you guys started doing something back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Meckler was holding a spay-neuter conference at Bentley College in Massachusetts, which has a large vet tech school. And I walked in from one end of the room, and Jeff walked in from the other. And both of us are well over 6 feet, and there's an entire room full of women who are about 5 foot 5 or so. So we knew immediately who each other were. We were the only two guys in the place.
And they were both runners,
Yeah.
avid runners.
So we walked over the middle and shook hands. We already knew each other from the telephone. We'd already talked a number of times. Going back to when Jeff was raising hell in vet school about the use of animals in practice surgery, I first talked to him on the telephone in probably early 1990, maybe even 1989.
Yeah.
But we don't want to take over the show. We just wanted to say hello and send our love to everybody.
Well,
And
thank you.
Martha, you got an awesome gift coming to you.
Oh, I know you. You guys, they
And
texted
it
me.
has 100% to do with Jeff.
Oh, you're
We know
sending
you
me a
love
doctor.
Jeff.
Well, Jeff yesterday, Beth emailed me and said, I need your address. And then she said, oh, never mind. I'm going to send you some, but it has to come here first. But I still need your address. And anyway, they just told me they're sending me a package, and it's really exciting. And I don't, they won't tell me what it is, but oh, so now I know it's something to do with Dr. Jeff, huh?
Absolutely, 100%.
Well, I know you're not sending me him, but because
Well,
he's
it'll
not
have to
wrapped
be the
up.
next best thing. And it's not a blow-up doll. I have to
Well, you don't need to send me Jeff.
that out loud. Seriously. I meant that in a funny way, not in a.
All right, we'll just put, but yeah. Oh, look, they're turning bright
Met
red,
with
you
folks,
guys.
the
She's
people
turning.
call.
All right. All right. Well, now say hi to Teddy and just to check, Henry Rooster and Arabella are doing
Everybody's
well.
doing awesome. Everybody's doing great.
Henry was
Oh,
the
I'm sorry. That
wandering
was a
around Whidbey Island rooster, Jeff, that
okay.
Beth rescued and brought it home.
He hates me.
And
He loves me.
then Merritt, of course, had to build a big chicken condo, and after a while they had to get him a wife, and so Arabella moved in. This rooster is so tough, it actually chased off and beat up and chased off a coyote.
Oh, jeez.
And the coyote was so scared he ran into the fence and pushed a hole in the fence because the
Okay.
rooster was so tough.
Let me just say one more thing.
Yeah.
I don't,
Go ahead.
you know those cardboard people that you can get? They're as tall as a human and they look real. That's what I was talking about.
Oh, well, that's not a blow-up doll. You were talking about a cardboard, Dr. Jeff. I see.
Yes,
Okay.
of course. Okay.
But you're not sending me a cardboard, Dr. Jeff.
No, you're not getting that.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm
It's
trying to get rid of junk in my
way
house. I
better.
really
Jeff,
am.
I hope there are none out there.
Jeff is probably used to women going gaga over him because he's like the perfect package. And Petra is a lucky woman, and Jeff is a lucky guy for having Petra.
Well,
So
see, I love
my
Petra
wife might
too.
disagree with you about being a perfect package, but
Well, he's a great
but we
guy.
get
Yeah,
along great.
if we were younger, maybe, but I love Petra too. And I used to be a redhead. When I used to have red hair and freckles, when I was young, and then it kind of turned strawberry blonde, and of course now I'm gray, but I used to be a redhead. And when I get asked, when people know it's talking to know who I am, and if Dr. Jeff comes up, you know who they ask? They always want to know about Petra's hair.
Yep.
That's the biggest question I get.
I believe it was from a Disney movie. Back then, it was very, I don't remember what the name of the Disney movie is, but she had this beautiful red hair.
Little
Yeah.
Mermaid.
And no, it wasn't Little
Was
Mermaid.
it Frozen?
No,
Frozen. Was
Frozen.
it
Frozen.
Frozen? Yeah.
Yes.
Tony, Dr. Tony's kids are of that age where they girls and that's what they first his first day that's they're calling Petra that, you know, after the frozen.
The frozen
I don't
hair,
remember who
yeah.
it is,
Yeah,
but
exactly.
yeah, because of her red hair. So.
So Petra's
Okay.
hair has a reputation all of its own. And oh, and I was, you know, when we started the show, I didn't, I found out from Steve though that you're doing the show, Jeff, from PPI, from the hospital. I was hoping maybe you'd be zooming in from home, and I would be able to say, well, hey, can't you like just poke Petra and have her come in and
Yeah,
sit down with us for
I
a little
think
bit?
she's out hiking the mountains right now.
Oh, okay. Well, you tell her she skated then if she lucked out. Otherwise, I'd have had you pull her into the. Maybe next time she can join us.
For
But
her.
anyway, Merritt and
Yes.
Beth, thanks for popping
Thank
in,
you.
and thank you again for the
Thank you.
connection. And again, keep up all the great work that you. And I know we don't have any interviews scheduled, but oh, what you put out. You know, there's another one of my pet peeves going on. You know, the OMAC stampede. You know, and
Local issue. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, that was a really good article you just sent out. So, folks, go to animals24-7.org, click on it so that you get the newsletter, and then you'll get these stories about all the animal stuff going on around the country, around the world, and in great depth and great information. And when are they going to stop that, Merritt? I mean, is there any chance that that stampede business is going to quit? Because, you know, we're breaking horses' legs and it's ugly.
I don't have a crystal ball. I don't predict the news. I just report it.
Okay.
And well, they feel that it's a cultural thing,
Of
sort of like
course.
Charyeta, and that's a really hard thing to get to stop.
Yeah.
It's very
Well, I know. And when
frustrating.
they pull the culture, oh, you know, we've been doing this forever. It's like, well, you know, sometimes we have to learn and grow and change as
And
we
it
get
has
old. And it's
nothing
like
to do with
bullfighting. Just
culture.
because you've been doing it forever doesn't mean it's humane.
But the very frustrating thing about the OMAC stampede is it didn't start out as a Native American thing at all. It was started off by a couple of Ku Klux Klan guys.
I know, I read that. I didn't even know that. Anyway, so yeah, if you want to know how the stampede business got started by the Ku Klux Klan, animals24-7.org, because, you know, Merritt's an encyclopedia on this stuff. Anyway,
Is.
you guys, thank you. Appreciate you. Well, you can hang around for a minute because we got to take care of advertisers because we're behind schedule. So we can do that, and then you can say goodbye to Jeff and stuff while we take a break, and then we'll get back. And I'm getting to that can of worms. I'm opening it because I got to know what Dr. Jeff thinks about this because I'm having to talk about it all the time. Anyway, stay right where you are, everybody. More with Dr. Jeff, Rocky Mountain Vet, straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally, our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
There's a reason they invented the internet. It's called 1150kknw.com.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and gosh, we are pushing midway through the last hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today, though, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And fortunately, Jeff and I are back. We almost got too distracted with Merritt and Beth. She got us really laughing because she said something really goofy. Anyway, it was really good to see them. Jeff uses them like I do. Jeff was saying, yeah, I can just call Merritt. He knows everything about everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And anyway, and the three of you guys are the hardest working people I know. And we'll get more back to that. But I want to get back. I've got to open this can of worms so we have plenty of time to put it to bed before we continue our discussions and talk about the other work that Jeff does. But with the spay and neuter thing, you know, when I grew up, I was working in veterinary medicine. We always said, you know, you spayed females at 5.5 months before they went into heat, and then males about 9 months. And that was kind of the standard for a long time, at least around here. And then when we woke up to the overpopulation problem with animals and the full shelters and irresponsible humans, then the shelters and rescues started spaying and neutering dogs and cats when they were puppies and kittens. Because we humans are not responsible, and they, the only way to really make a dent was to just not give it humans an option and have them spayed or neutered before they go out and adopted. Well, that triggered a boatload of research. And now the research has been done. Most of it, all that I'm aware of, has been done on golden retrievers and so forth. But the conclusion, and from what I get from the veterinary world, it was that the recommendation now from them is, well, you really should wait longer rather than do it earlier for skeletal bone and muscle development. And so that's kind of presented a problem, I think, for some people, especially in dealing with purebred dog breeds and so forth. I mean, breeders are sometimes putting it in their contracts now that you can't spay or neuter until they're over 2 or 3 years old. Now, I know the information I always would give out in the veterinary hospitals that I worked in, we always said spaying and neutering is a good thing. Doing it younger is good. And I've heard you say it too. You know, once you spay or neuter, you prevent any of the hormonally induced cancers from happening and all that sort of thing. And there's a lot of good reasons to spay and neuter. But then we get this research saying, no, you got to wait because of skeleton and so forth. I mean, where do you weigh in on all of that, Jeff?
Well, you got to look at first off at the research. There's example I like to give, as the temperature in New York City goes up. No, I got to think about this. Let me back up. The sale of ice cream goes up in New York City at the same level as the murder rate. Okay, they almost correlate. They go up, you know, it's two lines. And the rationale behind that is, okay, well, you know, based on that study, stop selling ice cream and then maybe the murder rate would go down, right? Uh-huh. Well, no, it's because the temperature is the ambient air temperature goes up, sale of ice cream goes up, murder rate goes up because people are irritated. So, you know, there's causation and there's correlation. Uh-huh. We've gotten so far away from good science, you know, and I'd say UC Davis is a joke to me in terms of their publications for not. Uh-huh. It's basically anti-spay neuter. I'm pretty sure you'll find that AKC is underwriting a bunch of that stuff. There's always follow the money. Always follow the money.
Yep.
If you look at their own longevity studies, their own, which they don't publish much of, but you go back and look at all their longevity studies, they have a big one. In the end, spay neuter animals live longer, period. All right. And if you live longer, you're more likely to have more problems. If you live longer, you're more likely to have cancer. You're more likely to have osteoarthritis. You know, so you can't blame it on them being fixed early if they're living one
longer,
longer on average.
Yeah.
All right. Because they're living longer. So there's no question with the giant breed dogs. You know, if you get into the massive stuff, you can argue whether they get the right bone. But I'm telling you, I've not seen that to be real in my practice. And I've seen more tibial crest avulsions in animals that were not fixed, and that's supposed to be fixing them young causes that, than in ones that are fixed. And just, you know, and I mean, I keep track of this stuff. And I just...
Well, that's why I wanted to ask you the question, because I figured you'd have an answer.
And in the end, if it's an owned animal, I personally like to do them, you know, when they're, well, fixed by 5 for cats is not even a controversy anymore. Fixed by 5 months is it. And for me, fixed by 5 means 5 weeks or 5 months. It makes no difference to the cats. You know, it makes no difference to me with dogs either. They, once again, they live longer. What we do know, there was lots of literature in the 90s and early 2000s, and 90% of it was positive for spay neuter. It's only been in the last decade or so some of the more negative stuff has been coming out. But once again, they're very limited studies. They're retro studies. Okay. So they basically send out flyers and get have people fill out things. You're always more likely to fill out something negative over something positive. And we just go on and on with it. I don't buy it, you know. And do I think you're wrong for waiting? No. If you got a giant breed dog, you want to wait till it's 18 months. I think Bushby, I kind of follow what Bushby says. And God, you know, he's as smart as anybody I know. And there's a few other people out there that are researching, are doing this all the time. And you know, if you go back through the literature, if you look at 1,000 articles, 990 of them are going to be positive, not negative.
You know? Okay. Okay.
That's just the reality.
And you certainly have been spaying and neutering lots and lots of dogs and cats, and you see them for their lifetimes, you know, usually as their veterinarian, and you can back up what you're saying. You just don't see the evidence.
Banfield, I think it was Banfield that did a study, and it involved like 1.1 million dogs and like 600,000 cats. And once again, fixed animals live longer. You know, and it was substantial longer for cats, you know, like male cats, that was like 3 to 5 years longer or something, you know. So, I mean, kind of on average, cats, you get 3 to 5 years, dogs, you get 1 to 3 years. Now, you can say, okay, let's say their ACL rate goes up slightly. All right. So it's at 0.6% or say it's 0.3%. So you go to 0.6%, you double the ACLs that you see in active, bigger breed dogs. So what? It's 0.3%. You double it, so it becomes statistically relevant. But at the same time, the dog does still live longer, and it is something, if it does happen, can be easily fixed. So I don't know, you know. And then what does it have instead? Does it have a pyometra? Does it have mastitis? You know, I mean, we see pyometras every day almost in this facility. We see them all the time. And we see animals with mammary tumors, and they can say what they want. 50% are benign, 50% are malignant. You know, so of the 50% are malignant, if we spay them and take the mammary chain off, we cure them about 50% of that time. So you still have 25-30% are going to die no matter what, unless they go into chemotherapy and everything else. And they still are going to die most likely. So, I'm waiting for the comprehensive. And the Golden Retriever study was set up to purposely squash spay neuter as much as anything else. And it has not done so. I mean, you know, they were published all kinds of stuff, and now you got to look for the stuff. They were putting stuff out there, and what they were finding is that, once again, the fixed animals were doing great, you know. So I want to see the whole study when it's all done, when they have 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000 animals that have died, and they follow them the whole way. But you can't even take into account things like, I can show you literature that'll say a dog growing up on a hardwood floor, linoleum floor, you just increased its chance of having hip dysplasia by something like 40%. I mean, dramatic, higher than anything else that you do for an animal, spay, neuter, anything else. Okay, if you believe that there's a correlation, I don't necessarily believe that there's a correlation.
I've never heard that.
Because once again, if you think about it, they splay their legs out, so they're always slipping. You know, you get these older dogs that do that, and it really contributes to hip issues. So you know, is everybody going to go change and put carpet in their house? You know, I mean, certain things come realities to life, but I still honestly believe. And I would not be pushing spay neuter if I didn't believe it. Now, do I think every animal needs to be done at 5 or 6 weeks of age? No. I think they should go, you know, get through all their vaccines, all their deworming, see their vets and all that. But I think almost every animal should be fixed by 6 months, 5 to 6 months before they go in the heat.
All right. You heard it from Dr. Jeff. And, you know, he's done it and seen it. And anyway, And it only makes sense, especially in the shelters and rescues and so forth, because we humans can't be trusted. You know, and it used to be that you'd adopt a puppy or a kitten at the shelter and you'd get a certificate to bring it back to spay and neuter, but we never brought them back. Okay.
Yeah, so about 30% certificates are about 30% effective in most places.
Yeah. Look, yeah. If you look so it just needs to be done, and we need to take care of this problem. But, you know, in addition to really focusing on overpopulation and spay and neutering and all of that, you know, you do. You go locally around and do, you know, great things in different areas like vaccine clinics or spay and neuter clinics and that sort of thing. But you also on the show, we got to see you go out to other places, and it looks like that you just go to like rescues and sanctuaries and treat their animals for free.
Many times, yes.
And I was curious to know if before the Animal Planet show, Rocky Mountain Vet, were you doing that kind of service work and going out and working with all of these rescues and sanctuaries to help these animals? Or did the show allow you to be able to do that and that's what made it possible? Well, or tell
me about
that.
We actually did more before the show because, once again, the show is great, but the film really slows things down. That's one thing. If I had one complaint about the show, is they never really got high volume, low cost. Well, the low cost was there. The volume wasn't there because you're filming. So, I mean, and there'd be times I'd be like, well, can you slow down? No, I'm in the middle of a surgery. I'm not slowing down. Or can we back up and do this, you know? And so there's a little tension that way. I mean, and you know, like if say Dr. Beyer went out and worked for the Gabriel Foundation, which is birds.
Right.
He got paid by Animal Planet, but he was not making money for PPI. So he was, you know, I mean, he was still getting his salary from us, and he got extra money for being on the show, but he never brought in money because when we got and do that, we never got money for that kind of stuff. That was stuff the show set up. But I was doing mobile stuff long before Animal Planet came along. I had already been to 36, 38 countries, lectured, taught surgery. I'm associated with 5 different clinics down in Mexico. I will be in El Salvador at the end of November, doing work with Dr. Tony, teaching spay neuter and working with veterinarians. I'll be in Colombia, I think, in January with a group out of Canada. In October, we'll be filming over on Pine Ridge Native American Reservation, South Dakota, one of the poorest areas in the nation. We'll be doing a filming of that, actually. So that'll hopefully be something that people can watch down the line.
Well, it's great to, you know, even if the shows are old, you know, if you watch, you get to see Dr. Jeff. Well, yeah, I saw you try to suture up a crocodile or something, I remember.
you go through a lot of deals with crocodiles.
Yeah, and there were bears last night. You were somewhere doing bears but all kinds of different animals. And I think you have spayed and neutered all kinds of different animals. anyway, it's fascinating watching all that, and it's wonderful to do that. But I just, you know, was thinking, you know, it would be wonderful if more veterinarians could be more generous with their time and service. Because I'm thinking around here, you know, and I do current events. And by the way, we're probably not going to get to current events today, everybody, but there isn't anything new. You can get it off the website, marthanorwalk.com, current events. But some of the local rescues will do events where they do microchipping, and that sort of thing. But we don't have vets out here doing vaccine clinics and stuff, or offering days of, you know, low cost, you know, spay or neuter here or there. Oh, it just doesn't happen. It's like zero of the vets do anything.
I don't understand that. I mean, why aren't there at least the nonprofits, the, you know, the humane groups, they should be hiring vets full time and having them, you know, they pay for themselves in the end. You know, it's a matter of having, you know, the fortitude to make that hire, not knowing how it's going to work out, but it will work out, you know, build it and they will come.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would like to see more of that going on in our area. And there was a veterinarian, a Dr. Doney here for many years who did clinics for the homeless and street animals and so forth. And a little bit of his work continues, but it just hasn't been picked up, and there just aren't many that are out there wanting to give of their time or their service, and it's disappointing.
Now, part of it is the type of people we're getting into vet school now. And you know, it's just in part of it, hate to say it because I'm old, it's somewhat generational. People, they want that work-life balance. I have no idea what that means because I've never had it. At the same time, like, if you're going to take half your time off, you want paid twice as much, you want to have, you know, twice as much time off, that doesn't give you a whole lot of time to do a lot of extra charity work, I'll just say, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're into that. But I don't know. To me, it's a passion. If you're in this field, I just understand why you would not want to help the very society around you that will basically that supports you and that you get your sustenance from, you know. And I've always believed that no matter what your business is, if you're a successful business, it's your society around you that made you a successful business.
Yeah. You know? Well, but I've always considered, you know, like if you become a doctor, a veterinarian or an MD or something like that, you know, you're choosing a life of service. And that energy should go along with it. But it seems to me that a lot of the problems started when all of a sudden we didn't want to really serve and we wanted that work-life balance, that sort of thing. And that's when, because back in the day when I was working for that first vet, there were no emergency clinics, and there was, you know, every hospital to take their own stuff. So I moved and had a little place a block away from the hospital. So I was the emergency first. You know, the vet lived across the lake and he didn't want to come in. So I took all the emergency calls and answered the phone during the night. You know, we had an answering service and they'd call me if it's a problem. And then I'd talk to him and I'd walk over and meet him at the clinic and, you know, and do whatever needed to be done. And the vet would tell me what to do. And he would only come over if I couldn't handle it, but I always could. So, but anymore, they don't even take emergencies, you know, and they've got the emergency clinics and all that kind of stuff. Yep. And it just seems to me that we've forgotten that it's a service occupation and you get back what you put out. So I just would like to see a more generous veterinary community.
I want to believe it's changing. I want to believe there's a group in there that's definitely not made for this profession, in my opinion, but the group coming up behind them seems to be very much more anti-corporate. They want to do more societal type work. And I think, but you still also have to make a living. And a lot of these kids are coming out $300,000 in debt from vet school, which is ridiculous in and of itself. But we don't support higher education anymore either. So all these things feed back on themselves. This is not rocket science to fix a lot of these problems. But there's too much money against it being fixed.
Yep. So we do have a lot of work to go. Let's see. I'm going to keep us on schedule because we get kicked out of here at noon. No matter what, we can't go any farther. So we have to take care of advertisers one more time. And then we're going to come back and we're going to touch on, you know, we haven't had time to go into a lot of detail with everything, but we're going to touch on kind of the international work that Dr. Jeff does. And it took me a while to get it, but kind of like his mantra, think globally, act locally. It took me a while to get that, but I got it. So I'll tell you what I think it means. We'll see. And we'll talk about Jeff's work around the world. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here. More with Dr. Jeff, Rocky Mountain Vet, coming up right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world? Triggered by people around you? What's going on in your personal life? Or shifting energies? Looking for inspired guidance? Need to talk? Natasha Ventner, intuitive personal awareness coach and medium, can help by sharing insights, tips, and tools to support you through life's glitches and snags. Natasha helps you empower yourself. Visit Natasha's website, intuitiveclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and heartfelt caring approach can help you. That's intuitiveclarifications.com. Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you? Running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Tell your friends about Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and I'm sad to say we're winding down the last hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We are here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And we heard from Natasha Venter. She's our intuitive gal, and if you would like to check her out, intuitiveclarifications.com is her website. YouTube channel is Natasha Venter IC, the letters IC for Intuitive Clarification. That's where you'll find her podcast every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. And you can book sessions with her online or give her a call at 360-770-7486. We also heard this hour from Linda Rasmussen, our bioenergetic synchronization technique best practitioner. And she can see you in her office at the Old Rainer Brewery or work with you remotely. And she continues to give a free session to anyone we send her. So if you haven't seen her in person, working with her on the air doesn't count. She'll still give you a free session. Just call or text her at 206-841-1992. 206-841-1992. All righty then, we are back with Dr. Jeff, Rocky Mountain Vet. And we'll have to check out his Facebook page here because he said he's going to move something, put something up there about spay and neuter stuff. And I think he's working on that right now. So it should be there for us. And maybe while we're doing that, let me give you all some contact stuff. If you haven't gotten his book, it is time to do that. And it's a great book, easy read. You'll learn all kinds of stuff about Dr. Jeff and his devoted life of service. It is called Beyond the Boundaries, The Life and Times of Dr. Jeff, the Rocky Mountain Vet. Melinda Grohol, G-R-O-H-O-L, is the author. It's available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, you know, the local places. You can, there's only one legitimate Facebook page, and what you look is for is Jeffrey Young. The Facebook pages that say Dr., you know, Jeff Rocky Mountain Vet are not legitimate, and so you can't trust them, and so don't follow them. But Jeffrey Young is the real deal. And then on Instagram, it's at Dr. Neuter, N-E-U-T-E-R, at Dr. Neuter dot. That's how you'll find him on Instagram. And then there is... The link or the place, the link to click or to go to get everything. You can make a donation. You can listen to the podcast and find the website and Facebook, all that stuff. It's at Linktree. And the address is linktr.ee/drjeffppi. linktr.ee/drjeffppi. And that'll get you to the page that's got everything. All right. Oh. Then, oh, I forgot. Remember, we talked about the big reunion that you guys had, Dr. Jeff, I think June 13th. I was so disappointed that we all couldn't just fly down to Denver and be there for the reunion because you were there and all the, you know, the vets and the techs and everybody that, you know, did Rocky Mountain, you know, Dr. Jeff, Rocky Mountain Vet. You had a big gathering down there, and I understand it went very well. You're going to put together, I think it's, that we can, are going to be able to watch it online and stream it online. Yeah. And that's about ready to launch, but I just wanted to give everybody the heads up that that's coming out soon. And it'll be a minimum fee that we will be able to watch.
Like $6 or something.
Yeah. Like really cheap. Okay. And so I want to pay attention because next week is the last Sunday of the month, and that's an encore show. So I'll be off, but I'll be back the first Sunday of the month with Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and Anything Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday. And I have an open slot. Actually, it's Merritt and Best slot I have open. If Steve, Dr. Jeff's right-hand guy, if he's available, I'm going to invite him to come on and tell us, because I think the stream is going to launch by then. And so he could tell us all about it and how to get a hold of it. So maybe we'll do that on the first Sunday of September.
He's better selling me than me.
Yeah. And he's a nice guy. So anyway, let's a little time we've got left. One of the great work that you do is that, when you know, when I heard think globally, act locally. For me, it was like small to start with. Okay, I think locally, but I think globally, but then I work locally at home. But that's not really what you mean, I don't think, because thinking globally, you know, like overpopulation, well, we want to reduce overpopulation of pets around the world. But then working locally could be local right where you are and you live, or like Dr. Jeff goes to other countries and places and works locally there. And then if you work in enough areas locally all over the world, pretty soon you can globally solve a problem. That's kind of what that means, isn't it?
I like to think that it's doable.
Yeah. So now is the first place.
A good job. A lot of countries
last night watching the show, you were just opening or, you know, finishing and opening a clinic in Mexico. And so you do this around the world, veterinary clinics where you educate veterinarians to do spay and neuters and, you know, other kinds of surgeries and stuff. But tell us about that work that you do.
Well, we have Dr. Tony's down in Mexico. He's in Merida, and he has one of the largest clinics in Mexico. He works closely with the University of the Yucatan, which is the vet school he went to, and that's where I was lecturing there. Dr. Andreas is there, Dr. Martha. I mean, they all have their own. So many of these, I call them kids. I knew them when they were kids. They're all grown up. They have kids now, but, you know, they have their own practices. But the biggest thing, I think, more than anything, and maybe it was just timing, you know, I don't think it's certainly because of anything spectacular in me. It's these individuals, they took an idea and they've run with it, you know, and they're just doing so much more. They all are in the spay neuter. They're all promoted. They go out. Dr. Tony, they're doing two or three outings a month, you know, with students. Dr. Andreas does the same thing, and they still get together. I mean, even though they're all separate business people, they still get together and do things as a group together too. It's building that community. And once people figure out that, yeah, you can make a living and still do charity stuff, it actually goes hand in hand, you know. And
I know you went to other countries to do spay and neuter and stuff. And then did you just see that there aren't veterinarians enough? And so you decided to go educate vets in other countries? Or
yeah, I think it's when I first went to Slovakia, I mean, they asked me to speak at the vet school on pre-pupil spay neuter. Well, no one bothered telling me that they didn't even know about spay neuter, you know? And so I'm going there, you know, they don't even believe in spay neuter and talking about spaying 5 and 6 week old puppies and kittens, you know, like, you know, I think they thought I was Jack the Ripper or something, you know? So, but ignoring that fact, you know, now they do a lot more of that, but, you know, and they, you know, teach an old school xiphoid process to pubis, you know, it takes 2 people, 3 people to do a surgery. You got to pull the guts out and put them on one side. Nobody was doing keyhole stuff, you know? We've just come so far. And now, I mean, we have vets like Dr. Andreas came up, went to the reservations because it's legal for him to go to reservations and work. You have to have a license to work in the States. But since they're sovereign nations, I bring a lot of my Mexican vets up to help me during the summer. Because he can crank out 25, 30, 40, 50 animals in a day, spay neuter wise. And there's perfect. I mean, you know, he's just done so many of them. I mean, these guys have been doing ever since they've been in vet school, and they've been out for now 10, 20, 30 years, you know.
But at least in the show last night, you guys and Dr. Petra was with you and some of the rest of you went down to the Yucatan Peninsula. And sure. I think you spent a week or so down. But anyway, you ended up spaying and neutering like 2,600 plus dogs and cats plus other surgeries. Yeah. I mean, in a week's period of time. I mean, it's amazing the work that you do elsewhere. And so Mexico's one place where you go regularly and do that. Are there other countries that you go to regularly?
Well, ever since since COVID, there hasn't been a lot. I mean, a lot of the international conferences haven't been going on. They're just now starting getting back into them. And then I got cancer. I mean, I've been dealing with that for the last couple of years. It's only been this last year that I actually started getting back out more mobile again. So I do plan, I would love to set up a spay neuter clinic in Montenegro. And the only reason I picked Montenegro is just, it's a small country. I think like 600,000 people total, a lot of street dogs, a lot of street cats, but it's, you know, you have the ocean on one side, the mountains on the other. I really think you go there in a 3 to 5 year period, just knock out overpopulation, improve that can be done on a massive area, in a massive area. There's 30 some vets, I think maybe 40 some vets total in the country. I think I worked with about half of them at one point. We did a spay neuter clinic over there. I was teaching them, you know, and how many are doing it are actually going to do volunteer stuff versus they just want to get better at spay neuter so they can make more money. I don't care. You know, the end results are the same. The animal's fixed. So there's if I can stay healthy a little bit longer, I may rekindle my desire to do, and not that I speak Montenegrin. I mean, the country's beautiful, but I just feel like it's an opportunity to really make a difference, you know, and show that it can be made a difference on a massive scale, you know, but it does take some money. That's the reality.
Yeah. Well, you certainly are making a huge difference, and I don't know how you do it. I mean, all that you do, you know, the practice and constantly working there, and we didn't even get to talk about some of the, you know, the running that you do and what you did with the kids and the track teams and all that kind of stuff. I mean, Jeff has just served in all kinds of capacities all over, and we just barely got to touch the surface of all of this, and hopefully motivated some of you that aren't already binging Dr. Jeff Rocky Mountain Vet when the shows come on Animal Planet, because they seem to, they'll probably run them forever. And the shows are great, and you can learn so much from them, you know, and understanding some veterinary procedures and what they do. I love your whiteboards and the way that you explain.
God, I hate them. I'm a horrible artist.
But you know, you do the job, and it makes it so much more understandable for people. To see how it's done. And I always encourage any vets that I know and run into, you know, watch the show and hopefully catch the bug about wanting to do affordable vet care and low-cost spay and neuter and getting out there and serving.
Medicine in general should be about education as much as anything. You know, I mean, that's our job, is to educate. We shouldn't have to have you back for the same problem if it's something you can correct at home, I guess is the point.
Exactly. All right. One more time on all the contact stuff. The book is Beyond the Boundaries, The Life and Times of Dr. Jeff, the Rocky Mountain Vet by Melinda Grohall. It is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, usual places. Wonderful book. Highly recommend. Dr. Jeff's website is planned. PetHoodInternational.org. And a great website, all kinds of stuff there. Only one legitimate Facebook page. It is Jeffrey Young. The pages that say Dr. Jeff Rocky Mountain Vet are not legitimate, and so ignore those. Jeffrey Young on Facebook, only place to go and follow. And then on Instagram, the only official page is at drneuter. At drneuter. That's on Instagram. And then if you want to go to one place to get the links to everything, it's a link tree. And the address is link, linktr.ee. linktr.ee. All righty then. I think we have covered all those bases. And Dr. Jeff, it's been such a pleasure. I hope that you'll be open to joining me again sometime and have a free show that we can plug in and then go into more detail about everything that you do. I know that Steve will let us know about the stream of the reunion that we can all watch when that's going to be launched. Anything coming up? You got any more events or anything stuff going on that we ought to know about?
Just Pine Ridge, October 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, maybe of October, if it goes smooth. And we will film that at some point with any luck.
What's going on at Pine Ridge?
Pine Ridge and Native American reservations. We'll be doing spay neuter there. But we want to kind of get into the culture and the poverty. I mean, it's like we're the second poorest county in the country. And just the fact that there's just real deserts out there for veterinary medicine and a lot of other things, I might add.
All right. All right. Well, we'll look forward to hearing about that. All right, you guys, next week, encore show. Tune in to hear our last energy balancing show with Linda Rasmussen. So tune in for that. And then first Sunday of September, be Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And maybe we'll be talking about Dr. Jeff again, because I'm going to try to snag Steve for that show. All righty, you guys. Dr. Jeff, bless you. Thank you for all of your work, and thank you for joining me here. And I look forward to the next time. And you tell that Dr. Petra, I want to see her red hair.
Thank you.
And we're kindred spirits. And David, thank you. Everybody, take care. Remember, southbound 405 closed for the whole weekend, so stay away from that area and pray for white rain. We need it, and for the fires to go out. And as always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family, and please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things. And we'll talk to you again next week.